Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I sit down with a couple of UK pastors, Graham Nichols and Mark Ventham. Today we're talking about the world of Christians in sport. What does it mean to see sport as a mission field? And how can we have a gospel influence in local sports clubs and on teams? We also have a great discussion about the theology of sport. All of that in the main bit, but first, a spot of news and a Sunday roundup.
My name's Graham Nichols.
And I'm Mark Bentham.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Today we have a really good discussion in our main section that is slightly longer than usual, so we're not going to mess around too much. We're going to have a short Sunday roundup and a little bit of news, but let's get straight into the Sunday roundup.
Sunday roundup, short, did the sermon pass real slow? Did you plant some seed to grow? It's roundup time, what do you know?
Sunday morning, we started a little series in the beginning of the book of John, so we're anticipating Christmas, so that's really exciting. We're leading up to Christmas.
I like the way you're talking fast, as if the time is really low.
I'm trying
low.
To kind of get through it really quick.
Don't worry, you can take your time.
Okay.
Relax.
In the evening, we were looking
at... Yeah, that's too slow. Come
we were on, looking at Proverbs again, and I suppose the one thing that I got very enthusiastic about and probably said about 20 times in the sermon was I got blown away by the fact that when I was preparing something on parenting, thinking, oh, I need to find the parenting text. And what I realised as I was reading through Proverbs again was it's all about a conversation between the father and the son. And so actually the whole of Proverbs is about parenting, which made me kind of think much bigger about the value of conversation, spiritually motivated, loving, relationship-based conversations between a father and his son, of course, which helps us in parenting, but it helps us in thinking about all our relationships, and it helps us thinking about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. So I got very excited about that kind of concept, which is plainly obvious, but it, in thinking about parenting, it made me think about that. So that's my excitement of Sunday.
Time for news now. Give us your views. News.
We've had a beep, 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 Boris update. I might do a jingle for Boris updates because there's just thick and fast. A Boris update to do with Christmas is going to be out, well, actually, it'll be out between the recording of this podcast and the release of this podcast, which is tomorrow, Thursday, where we get actual more detail. But we know a little bit about what's going on and what the restrictions will be. Mark, do you want to talk a little bit about how we handle the news of that and disappointment or whatever?
So the news is three households can gather over the 5 days, but have to be exclusive in those three households. And of course, for some, that's going to bring a lot of heartache because it will mean probably not seeing one whole side of the family, or who do you choose? How do you do that? And actually, that's going to be really painful and hard for some. And so as believers, we've got to deal with our disappointment in that. And dealing with our disappointment means guarding our hearts against bitterness, guarding our hearts against judgmentalism against the government or others, guarding our hearts against envy because others have simpler lifestyles or simpler family setups and they can all gather and see their families, but I can't. And so just in that, taking those to the Lord, I think this is where we've got to pour out our hearts to the Lord and ask him to guard our hearts against sinful responses. And instead, rejoice with those who are able to rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, kind of, in one sense, helping us to remember the true glory of Christmas, which is the one who comes into the world to bring light and life and hope. And so taking it to there, I think, is where we want to be helping one another at this time. And of course, recognising there will be those who are quite happy with the arrangements and those who are happy not to over-delight, but to mourn with those who are, you know, finding this tough as well. And so just bearing with one another, loving one another, recognising our situations are different, and how we are concerned for each other in this.
Yeah, and I think being led by principle and by really understanding what God wants us to do in the situation, not by our emotions in the moment or even by family pressure, which, you know, we totally understand because we want to love our other relatives by seeing them if we can. But I think if we're driven by that, we will make short-term decisions that crush our conscience in the moment and that desensitise us in the longer term. But yeah, as Mark said, not judging those who judge to do whatever they do, And I think just recognising it is really hard for some families who have complicated, strung out set of relations in all directions, who are very, will be very upset if they're not seen. And it's just, you know, recognising that.
But in all of that, we are called as believers to submit to the law.
Yeah, yeah.
And submission only ever really kicks in when you disagree with the law. It's at that point you've got to then submit. And I think you have to trust, and I think this is where you have to trust that the Lord Jesus has plans and purposes as you do that. And actually faith in action, that God works through that. That's the action for us now as we step out in faith, that actually I'm going to obey the law of the land, even if I disagree with it, think it's wrong, trusting that God will work his purposes, even if I can't see that, even if that's just to encourage my faith and strengthen my faith as I seek to obey and do what is right and trust the outcomes of that to him. But that is the life of the believer.
It is. And I think it's putting God first, not our own emotional well-being or even our family. And that's really hard when it hits the road like this. And I'm finding it really hard personally. So I understand how hard it is. but I know what's right before God and what you've got to try and learn through this.
What's that coming over the hill? Is it the main bit? Is it the main bit? Will we get copyright sued because of this jingle? This little jingle. What's that coming over the hill? It's Graham Nichols. It's Graham Nichols. Mark Fentham's coming as well.
This week we are joined by Ian Lancaster from Christians in Sport, which is essentially an organisation made up of different sports men and women and coaches, I think, and officials and people in sports who are looking to reach the sporting world with the gospel. And we're really grateful for you joining us, Ian, and giving us some time. We appreciate that very much. And before, I guess, we start talking about the world of sport and seeing it as a mission field, I would just love to know a little bit about you and your own personal story and journey and like how you eventually arrived at the role that you're at with Christians in Sport now. Could you give us a bit of a story?
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Josh, for the welcome. Good to be here. I think like a lot of boys in my era, it was always jumpers for goalposts. So school was about sport. It really was. Look, I was half decent academically. I wasn't top of the class, but school was always an opportunity to break time, get the jumpers down, quickest one out onto the yard or the field. If no one had a football or a tennis ball would do. If no one had a tennis ball, let's just crush a can and kick that around for as long as possible. So sport, I guess, from an early age was something that I was passionate about and I wired for. And I guess I was then half decent at football, so started playing for the school team, and then my local club Carlisle United picked me up as a schoolboy. I went on to sign young pro forms with them there for a couple of years. Realised that actually, do you know, I wasn't that good. You know, I was kind of top of the class and top of the school, but when it came to the professional level, not that good. I went to play for a couple of clubs in Scotland, Queen of the South, Gretna, those kind of clubs that you see on the Vidi printer on a Saturday afternoon and think, where the heck is Queen of the South? I played for them. And then went to university because I realised that perhaps I was going to make a better shift of things, getting an education, and played semi-pro football after that. And then got involved in Christians in Sport after my university experience. So it was always football, though. And I think looking back, I'd love to have played other sports. But I think when you play at that kind of standard, it's kind of all or nothing. Now, you know, picking up a tennis racket, I'm all over the place. Or picking up a golf club, I'm not that good. Snooker queue was all right, because in the afternoons as a professional footballer, I used to go to the snooker hall in my area. So I can play a bit of pool and snooker, but that's my limitation. So there's a bit of background.
That's great. And what about a sort of spiritual background? So were you sort of a believer from an early age, or was that later in your life?
Yeah, it was. Well, it was later in life that I talk about being regenerated in terms of a salvation, in terms of trusting in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of sins. I grew up in a wonderful Christian home, taken to church regularly. In fact, that's how I know Mark, madly enough, in Carlisle.
Many years ago, wasn't it?
And we recently at the Curry House, we kind of caught up, looked at each other and thought, wow, we know each other. And that it kind of all fitted into place. So that was at a church in Carlisle. I was part of the Sunday school there and then the youth group there. And I think, like, again, many boys in that era went, it was okay. It was a parent's faith that I held on to. Thrown into the world of sport at the age of 16, that was it. Really embarrassed about the fact that I went to church, wanted nothing to do with it, really. Nothing that compelled me to drive forward my faith in the Lord Jesus. And so you could almost say I kind of fell off a cliff at that point and didn't think about it anymore until my last year of university. So it's like a 5-year window of looking back, you know, grim years, kind of wonderful years for sport, but grim years in terms of a faith in the Lord Jesus and all that went with that, you know, the sin that I got involved in as a young lad at that age. So really grateful then to God for doing his work in my heart my last year of university through good mates as well and a good church pastor at university. And that's when I talk about my faith really being in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of sins.
And seeding the ground, I guess, for the conversation about Christians in sport, was your experience when you were kind of that in those teen years, like late teens at university, was your experience in the sort of pro world of sports, do you think that pulled you away more from your background of faith and church upbringing, or what was that atmosphere like just from somebody who had, you know, been churched and was in that different world?
Yeah, I do. I don't think I was ever prepared for the world of professional football, especially. So at the age of 14, 15, when you're on school, boys, you're there Thursday evenings and then games on Saturdays, no problem. But at the age of 16, I finished my GCSEs and then I was full-time down at Carlisle United. The odd evening, I did a couple of A-levels on evenings at Carlisle College. But I don't think I was ever prepared to make that leap, especially with faith, but just in life. You're thrown into men's football and all that was involved in that, not just on the field of play, which is just a kind of a huge level up and kind of morals of ethics of even playing fairly were in dispute at that point, but just the social side of things. I think that was a real hard hit for me. And I don't think my parents love me hugely, but I don't think my parents understood anything about the world of professional sport. And to be fair to them, they actually contacted Christians in Sport at that point and said, here's our son. He's involved in a professional football club. What can you do for him? And Christians in Sport at that point, actually, they reached out for me. But I think I'd gone so far away from the church and faith that I just wasn't keen to recipiate their call and connect with them. So I think at that point, at the age of 16, I was going in the wrong direction, and sport kind of exacerbated that direction of travel. And I think that the two combined didn't help at all.
Just give us a quick summary of what you're doing for Christians in Sport at the moment, and then it would be great to just start thinking about the theology of sport, how, you know, God and sport connect. You know, how do we make sense of that as a believer?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Leaving university then, I went on the Christians in Sport internship. I went to Bible College, and I've been involved ever since. So last 20 years I've been on staff. Here's what I currently do. I just oversee the things that we do in the UK with compete and elite sports people. And so the vision of Christians in Sport for 40 years, we've just celebrated 40 years as an organisation this year. It's not changed in 40 years, the vision. It's to reach the world of sport with the good news of Jesus. That's it. And in compete and elite levels. And so my role is to work especially in the compete side of things. So with young people, we predominantly through sports camps in the summer, we engage with around 1,000 young people and then with families of those young people throughout the year, just through resources. For students, kind of oversee all that we do. Students, we've got about 48 university groups full of Christian sports players involved in university sport that think about how they can connect sport and faith and go and use use that place as the mission field to go and share Christ. And then with the adult sports players as well, in the compete level, so you know, Hayward's Heath, think about the people that you would have in your church who play sport at any kind of level, but involved in the club or team. So compete in a sports club or team. Then as a parachurch organisation, all we're trying to say to local churches is, right, how can we engage sports people who don't know Jesus in your local area? And how do we do that through Christian sports people, equipping them up, sending them out and saying, do you know what? Your local sports team is a brilliant mission field for you to engage and commit to, share life with those people and to then to share the good news of Jesus. That pretty much encapsulates my role within the UK. And then a little bit of elite work as well with YPAs. We call them young performance athletes, those that were like me at the age of 16, but across different sports. We encourage them through their parents. We're running Zoom calls at the moment with them. And then some elite players as well across different sports, supporting them in their sports. So that's kind of my role and our role as an organisation in the world of sport. When we talk about then the theology of sport, Mark, if we wanted to go on to that, which I'm very keen to do. Yeah, should we just dive in?
Go for it.
Look, I wish I'd have got this when I was a 16-year-old because I think if I'd have got this, things might have looked very different for me. Christians in sport generally have really helped me understand the Genesis narrative through a lens of sport. So starting in Genesis 1 and 2, when God creates man in his image, that's crucial then to the whole then of God's word. Here's a people created by him in his image. We created in his image to image him. And what does it then look like to image him? There are two things among many, but two things specifically when we think about the world of sport. One is in creativity. So there's a piece in Genesis 2 where God puts the man into the garden and he says, go and cultivate it for me. Go and look after it for me. Go and use all that I've given you for me, for my glory. So if you think about the world of sport and you think about the gifts and abilities that he gives us to go and play, a passion, a mindset, a wiring to play sport. It's like he's saying, now go and image me. This is why I've created you, to image me, in my image, to image me. Now go and use that creativity. Go and use that ability to stop a ball when it's been pinged right at you, to just take it out your feet and then to whip a cross in for the centre forward to come in and head the ball into net. Go and use that for me. I've given it to you. Go and cultivate it and give me the glory. So I think the Genesis narrative has helped me see that sport can be used to image God in my creativity, but also then in relationships. At the end of, or is it Genesis 1 and 2, when it's the first not good, it is not good for man to be alone. It's the first not good after all the goods we get in Genesis 1. And they're very good when God makes mankind the pinnacle of his creation. It's not good for man to be alone. So here's the other angle of sport. Sport is this super arena for the development of relationships, to image God in the way that I relate to others and therefore relate to God as well. So in teams or even in clubs when I'm playing individual sport, to be able to live life with other people who have got the same mindset as me. And sport does something that perhaps a workplace doesn't do. If you're all about a common aim and a common goal, get 15 boys on a rugby pitch versus kind of sitting opposite each other in the office. That depth of relationship that sport offers is a way that I can really image God. And I think the final piece of the jigsaw for me is that passage in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I think the final penny dropped for me when I understood that my body, that word body is your entirety, everything that you are, everything you've got, made in the image of God. Therefore, now in light of what the Lord Jesus has done for you, in light of his mercy, go and offer your entirety. So for me, it was 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, running across that white line. Go and offer all that I've got, my physicality, my mentality, my emotions, just go and offer it all to him, living sacrifice, it kind of says, no longer me, I'm dead to life past, now alive in you. And that idea of it being your spiritual act of worship because it's holy and pleasing to God, that idea clicked for me when I could actually go and play my sport as an act of worship to God, not just singing songs on a Sunday, which was really great for me as I wasn't a top singer and didn't enjoy that too much. But actually thinking, oh, this is who I am. This is who he's wired me to be. The gifts and abilities he's given me in the relationships he's put me in. Bam, this is it. Go and worship him in sport. So that was the journey that I went on.
That is a brilliant summary of the theology. I loved it. And lots to think about there. And I'm with you that, you know, if all of us thought about that a little bit more to do with sport, that would improve things. I suppose I was curious in kind of coming to this discussion about the fact that all of life is there with sport. So as well as the positive, creative, relational things that you're talking about and the worship involved, there's also the idolatry, the competitiveness, which is a kind of a weird thing. So you imagine, just to be irreverent for a moment, could the Father, the Son and the Spirit ever have a kickabout and there'll be a winner? Would that be okay if the Father won, and it's a thought exercise which is not supposed to be irreverent. It made me think about, is competition okay? Is having winners and losers okay? Or is that okay if it's just part of the drama and part of the enjoyment and part of the creativity, as long as it's not the goal? What do you think about that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Of course, Genesis 3 throws a spanner in all of the works of this, doesn't it? Because the fall of man, and we see sport flawed and fractured in every single way. In my life, in my ability to play sport, when I'm desperate to try and worship him, then I know that there are 10 things that can get in the way of me doing that. When it comes down to competition, I think this is interesting, the way that the world defines competition versus the true idea of what competition is. So not that I'm any kind of Latin scholar, but understanding the word competition of competere, meaning to strive together towards a common goal. Right. So that understanding of competition would be, I need you, my opponent, my competitor, to strive with me, strive together so that our performance can be as good as it can be for a common goal. And the common goal not being ultimately about I beat you or you beat me, but my common goal, my goal being that I would glorify God because I need you to push me and strive against me, that I would glorify God with every ounce of my being. And I think we've just lost that idea of competition being a strive together. We now define that as I'm going to beat you, and pretty much no matter what that means, and the winner then is the victor. Just by the result, rather than the whole striving together for the glory of God, for the good of the physicality of sport that we've been able to enjoy together. So I think God the Father, Son and Spirit would have got a right, or get a right definition of competition, where they're striving together for the greater good of the glory of the Father. I think that would be a pretty good game.
Yeah, well,
By the same token, that must mean there'll be football in heaven, in the new heavens and earth. Not rugby, probably, but football.
Well, you've said that, not me.
Well, rugby is the game played by gentlemen, isn't it? No, game for gentlemen played by...
It's a bit like when I say there'll be dogs and not cats. It's a similar, completely prejudiced, unreasonable thing that I'm saying.
But all in all of that, it's been really helpful to just think about the theology of sport competition. Yeah. Just conscious of time, how can you've kind of hinted at it already, but how can sport be used in the gospel? So thinking about everyday believers just listening in, okay, so we're right about sport, we love sport, I can see how it reflects being an image bearer, I can make sense of competition, but how am I going to now use that for the gospel? Because otherwise it could just be purely selfish for my own benefit, and in one sense there's nothing wrong with that, where, you know, healthiness and all of that, but...
And I think that's where Christians in sport have kept the temperature as high as possible. And for me, as an employee of Christians in sport, but as someone who's a part now of a running club, I hung the football boots up long ago, retired from the game. I miss it, of course. But being a part of a local running club, here's the deal for me. Reach the World of Sport for Christ is ringing in my ears all the time. So go on, if possible, every Thursday night around the Ring Road of Bicester. It's pretty dull, but it's a 10K run where, yes, I do believe I can glorify God and worship God with the gifts and abilities that he's given me. Thank him that I'm still able to run, to move. But it's the context that he's put me in, which is now really crucial. And I think I can develop rich relationships with the people at Alchester Running Club. And rich relationships mean friendships, not projects. It's not that I'm just using this context to try and tell them about Jesus. I really want to build friendships with them where I'm able to share life and therefore ultimately share the good news of Jesus with them. And for some, that's quick. For others, that's over a longer period of time. But that's the push of Christians in sport, saying, here's a lost world of sport. There are desperate, dying people in the world of sport. And sport's this place where we can honour God, glorify him. And it's a magnificent place for building relationships. And then saying, let's reach it. Let's let the good news of Jesus have an impact with those that we play with.
And it's striking, isn't it? Because it's one of those areas where, particularly as you get older, contacts with people, apart from work, and as work is very often all over the place, and now we're all working from home, sport is still a place where you can connect with people and relate to people. And so thinking about, okay, great to catch up with mates and play football who are all believers, but hey, what about, can we all go together and join, the local football team, or play rugby with a team, or running club, or whatever else other sports are available.
Do you think sports are particularly a context where you can witness more? I know we can witness everywhere, but is there something about the depth of relationship or the shared purpose or the times you will end up spending together or the way you play? Do all those things together make it quite a rich experience?
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. I think if you're a sports person, you get the common goal, the camaraderie, the togetherness, the feeling of being a part of something and being accepted in something that perhaps the workplace, I alluded to this before, perhaps the workplace doesn't give, perhaps the neighbourhood doesn't give, although we're seeing signs of that, aren't we, kind of the clapping on the doorstep. There's that feeling of togetherness and we're in this together. I think sport naturally does that. And this is where I think we as an organisation just keep saying, well, look, Haywards Heath, where are the sports clubs and teams? And so we'd be quite hot on this and saying, and not that we're against it or not saying don't do it as a church, but we say don't set up church teams, church sports teams. Of course you can, but there's a lost world of sport out there. And if sport's this context where you can develop rich relationships, let's send out our sports people from our church to those sports clubs and teams. Look, don't send five Christians to the same club. Split them off around three football clubs, so that you've got a Christian witness within those different sports clubs around the town. And let's see how then, together, when we're in church, we can encourage and equip each other to then go out and be missional in this magnificent, I know biased, but magnificent context of sport, and see how we can make a difference. And I think we should be looking at sport. It's quite a different context from other things. Not better, different.
Yeah, I think it highlights, though, that we need to be better at equipping each other for all kinds of contexts. But sport highlights that, because you think, well, there's a particular challenge if you go and do that, because there'll be the temptation for idolatry, for wrong competitiveness, for losing your temper, for playing, badly, or for, giving up on Christians. Because of that. So there's all those temptations. But actually, equipping people for all other areas of life is just as important. It's just we don't... Sure. Sport maybe makes us think about it because we've kind of isolated it as a particular area.
I think you're right, Graham. I think it is sport's no better than anything, is it? You're absolutely right. It's where I am. It's my wiring. And so, therefore, if we as churches just equip people to be missional-minded within their social groups, whatever that might be, a knitting club or just on the doorstep with neighbours, I think that's what we should be doing and are doing across churches.
I think, like, just from what personal experience, having, cause my game is basketball. I've always played basketball, like, since I was a kid, in all the so gone up through the same team but in the different age groups here in our area. And I would say, like, the special thing about the relationships in sport is that you do, it's a heightened emotional atmosphere in game time, you know. So you see each other in wins and losses. You see each other when you're playing well and when you're frustrated, when you're healthy and when you're injured, and when you're on the road and when you're at home games and road games. And, like, I think there's a lot of opportunity in that for your living witness, like, not just the things you're saying, but how you're reacting in the losses, how you're reacting when you're playing well, how you react when you win, like, just your attitude. And, like, I see that in the pro games. Like, so I watch a lot of NBA basketball, and there's, you know, there's certain players who are more active or speak more about their faith. Like, Stephen Curry comes to mind. I don't know if you know of him, Ian, but, like, who will, and you see it in the way they behave in the wins and in the losses. And yes, they're competitive and they're competing at a high level, but there's a different flavor to it. There's a different flavor, and that it's actually a very attractive flavor. Do you know what I mean? That I think people are drawn to. So I would say totally agree with all that. Mark, did you have a question?
Well, I guess the question that starts to arise, though, when you talk about sport, is the Sunday tension. I'm just conscious of time, thinking, do we do this as a whole other podcast, or whether we
go
just
go on, keep going. I'll give you more time. Keep going.
I just think, you know, how do you handle the tension of sport on Sunday? Partly because we had to work it out ourselves over the summer with our eldest son and get into a certain level of sport. And I just found Christians as well really helpful in their podcast, the books they recommended. And I just thought it'd be helpful just to begin to tease out some of these thinkings and the priorities and how we think about this theologically, rather than just kind of get pushed one way or the other. Think properly about it.
It'd be good to avoid the rabbit hole of specifically Sunday, but more the principle of how do you make sure that in encouraging sport, you don't discourage the gathering with God's people and the priority for developing and growing as a Christian.
That's a health correct, yeah.
I think firstly we recognise that it's a huge struggle. It's a real struggle, because if we're saying, go on, this is who you are, this is the body and ability and passion that God's given you to go and play sport, but then if there's a hurdle where your sport is being played on a Sunday, we've got to recognise the tension there and the struggle it is for so many families to work this through. I think secondly, look, as a parachurch organisation, we're never here to give recommendations to individuals or families involved in a local church of what they should and shouldn't do. We never want to do that. We always want to say, speak openly and honestly with your church pastors. So do that, work that through, because it'll be tension points that people will be feeling and different walks of life as well. And then I think thirdly, there is the doctrine around Sabbath and Sunday, isn't it? Which will park for now, as Graham said. But it needs to be wrestled with within your churchmanship, within your church context as well. So that's worth mentioning. I think the key area for this conversation is how we view Christian fellowship. Because we understand that Christian fellowship is crucial for the growth, for the maturity, just for the continuing of faith. Look, Hebrews 10:24-25 comes to mind. Do not give up meeting together, isn't it? As some are in the habit of doing. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Continue to consider how you meet together. And if in your sport you are missing regular contact with Christians, that becomes a real issue. So we want to be saying your Christian fellowship, involvement in the local church, is absolutely crucial to your growth as a Christian, but also to your growth as a Christian in sport. Don't think that's separate. And so work hard with your church pastors at trying to find some solutions. And of course, there are different solutions, aren't there? Of course, there are youth groups kind of meet on different nights. There might be a Sunday morning gathering that they can't attend, but a Sunday evening gathering that they can. And it's on that ongoing conversation that we're recommending parents, families, individuals to be having with their church pastors all the time. I think maybe just as a caveat to all of that, where Christians in sport would be strong and would be hot would be saying, there's a lost world of sport out there that needs Jesus. Let's talk about this, but let's continue to remember that if Christians aren't in those sports clubs and teams, who will hear about Jesus in those sports clubs and teams context?
I think was,
so that's kind of the caveat to all of that.
I really agree with that. I think where it gets slightly more difficult and a challenge is where you have, say, children and you're not quite sure where they are spiritually. So you're not talking about someone who's a believer and you can provide that wraparound support and you can say, okay, the only time you can play is Sunday morning. Let's be creative, think around that. I think it just gets harder. I'm not saying it's impossible. It just gets harder when, you know, you've got a 10-year-old, they're not professing to be a Christian, so you're not quite sure what you're doing in encouraging them and what they're missing and whether you can, do you know what I mean? And I think there's a degree of both wisdom and in the end trusting God's sovereignty in these things that if you're patient and prayerful about it. But I think it just makes it harder, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's a part of that as well, isn't it, Gren, that if we're equipping our parents to disciple their children and helping parents understand that it's not just the church's job to do that, but it's your job as a Christian parent, then it's up to us as pastors to still be equipping the parent to work this through with their child, to be having regular devotional times, to be reading God's word together, praying together. All of that piece comes into it then as part of the whole picture of helping young ones grow up in the world of sport, yet church is absolutely pivotal to Christian faith.
I'd just add to that, it's just knowing your child as well. So there's a difference between just wanting to give my child another experience, another kind of sporting experience, and a child who is sport developed, mad, you know, good at it, you know, in that's his thing, like you, Ian, as a young child. It's very different to a child who is, hey, let's just give him, this is another thing to fill their diary with, oh well, it fits, clashes with Sunday, they can do something else. You know, I think it's working those things out as well.
I think you're right, it's the distinction, isn't it, between grassroots and elite, and throw another option their way, let's just play football because it's on Sunday amongst 10 other things that they're doing during the week, that might not be sensible. But if there's one thing that your child might be specifically good at, there's a different conversation if then sport is played on the Sunday and takes you away, and that's one area that the family are thinking of pursuing. It's just a different level of conversation that we're engaged in. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you so much, Ian. What do you want to plug, Ian? I know you guys have a podcast, but what else? Where can people go to find out more or to get resources? Give us some addresses and stuff.
Yeah, the website's crucial. Christiansinsport.org.uk, I think it's just the website. There's all the stuff on there. Can I just plug one thing that we think is really good at this time? That we're coming out of lockdown in England on the 2nd of December, but what we've tried to put in the hands of Christian sports people is just a very simple resource called Train 1-to-1, because the minimum that we've been able to do across the UK in the different countries is train with one other person, be that go for a run or a walk or do circuits or a bike ride with them. And we've just put a little resource together that's just simply ask three questions about what your friend thinks about who Jesus is, the claims that he makes, and what it would look like to follow him, the difference that he would make. And just trying to put the ball in the court of the Christian sports people, saying use this opportunity to develop those relationships and to try and have those conversations with people with knees knocking for all of us at those times, to ask that question about what they think of Jesus, as well as then invitations to all other things. We've had a sports quiz that is put on monthly. We've seen loads of people attend to that, Christian sports people inviting their friends who don't know Jesus to hear the good news of Jesus, to get under the sound of the gospel. So that's the one resource that we've just been trying to plug and put into people's hands and say, go for it and see what can happen as a result of conversations.
And there are loads of really good resources on their website, really helpful Bible studies, materials to use with children, with young, with students, with those who love sport. So really recommend their stuff. And camps. Yeah. Will camps be back next year?
Oh, yeah, let's hope. Oh, Mark, let's hope so. Not just for your family, of course, but for the many hundred that would be engaged. We're planning towards them, of course, we are. We've got scenario plans all over the place of what could happen, what might happen, but we would love to put on Sports Plus camps again and physically.
I think indeed. For people who are listening who are not into sport, that I think there's loads to pray for in all of that. There's actually just recognising it's a massive cultural phenomenon, you know, whether you're personally into sport or not. With the kind of main headline sports, not so much basketball, Josh, but still, it's a great sport.
it's the best sport.
And it was one I used to play at school, more basketball. And then I ended up playing squash a lot of my life, which was not, it's not really a team game where you do all those lovely things you do, but you are still creative. But
train one-to-one, Graham.
Well, it's what it is. And, there we go. You know, I played with the same guy. He was a Christian, actually, but I played with the same guy and then a few other guys. But, you know, there's a lot of bad temper in squash. What was I going to say? Yeah, if you're not into elite sport, praying for... if you're not into sport, praying for all the things you talked about. But I think also just encouraging all of you guys listening to pray for particularly people in elite sport that maybe Christians in sport are in contact with, or even if you're not, because that's probably the most challenging. And there are Christians, like Josh was saying, in basketball, but you know, in all the sports, and that's a particularly challenging fire pit to be in. And so, you know, we want you guys listening to pray for them. Just be conscious of them as having all those opportunities like we've been talking about.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Ian. We really appreciate it. Brilliant.
Super. Lovely to be here with you guys.
Thanks for joining us for another episode. I hope you enjoyed that one. If you did, leave a review, leave a rating, leave us a question, ordinary@cchh.org.uk. If you have a question for Ian, we'd be happy to pass that on to him. Come back next week, we'll have another brand new episode of Ordinary. See you then.